cameras, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Danny and I'm joined with...
Glory.
That's correct. We're here with another serial killer. Yay. I feel like, you know what is so scary is how many of them there are throughout history. You get what I'm saying? Guys, it's a lot. Well, we are dealing with the BTK killer. Do I know what BTK stands for? No. Are we going to find out? I really hope so. Otherwise, that will be very BTK. Okay, let's both try and guess and see who gets closer. And before anyone says, I know it because I have the information in front of me, I actually don't, because I have not read through this article until right now with you. So I have no idea what it stands for. Okay, try guess.
You can go first. Ladies first.
BTK. Butter, tomato, ketchup. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
BTK. Book. Target. Kansas.
What?
I don't know. I'm going to go with my first one. Butter, tomato, ketchup, killer.
Wow.
I really don't know. I don't even know
why we're trying to guess this.
Yes, it's fun. Because we are having a fun time here. Just try. BTK.
Zero clue.
Zero clue. Yeah. Try. Just play along.
I don't know. Behind the killer.
Oh my word. Behind the killer. Okay, so his is behind the killer. Mine is butter, tomato, ketchup. I feel like yours is going to be closer than mine.
I don't think so, but anyway.
We'll figure it out as we read along. So, this was the work of Dennis Lynn Rader, who was born on March 9th, 1945 in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Oh, maybe the K's Kansas.
Yeah, you see, you should have went with your other option, but you
damn! Changed. Okay. He grew up in Wichita? I think that's how you spell it. The oldest of four sons, he enjoyed seemingly normal childhood, reportedly masking such disturbing behavior as hanging stray animals. Wait, he hung animals. Okay, bad start. They say if your kid kills animals, it's a sign. Rader dropped out of college and joined the U.S. Air Force in the mid-1960s after returning to his hometown. He worked for an outdoor supply company for about a year. In 1974, he began a lengthy stint as an employee at ADT Security Services. I thought that was a South African brand. I didn't know it was American.
Well, who said it was American?
We in America.
So...
Okay, maybe not American, but I didn't know it was international.
Yeah, you didn't know. Yeah. Neither did I.
In 1971, he married Paula Ditz, and the couple had two children, a son named Brian in 1975 and a daughter named Kerry in 1978. Okay. His first victims. On January 15th, 1974, Rader strangled four members of the Otero family, Joseph and Julie, along with their two children, Josephine and Joseph Jr., to the death in their Wichita home before leaving with a watch and a radio. Strangulation and souvenir taking would become part of his pattern of criminal behavior. He also left semen at the scene, and later said he derived sexual pleasure from killing. Guys, you see, this is so weird. How? I don't understand. The family's 15-year-old son, Charlie, came home later that day and discovered the bodies. I would be traumatized. 15 and you find your family dead. Radar struck again a few months later. On April 4th, he waited in an apartment of a young woman named Catherine Bright before stabbing and strangling her when she returned home. Radar also twice shot his brother, Kevin, though he survived. Kevin later described Radar as an average-sized guy, bushy mustache, psychotic eyes. And that's what he told the Time magazine. So, in October 1974, Radar placed a letter in which he took responsibility for the killing of the family in a public library book. The poorly written notes gave authorities some idea of who they were dealing with. Radar wrote, "It's hard to control myself. You probably call me psychotic with sexual perversion hang up." He warned that he would strike again, noting, and I quote, "The code words for me will be behind them. Torture them? Bind them, B. Torture them, T. K. Kill them."
Wow.
So that's what BTK stands for. Bind them, torture them, kill them. Okay, you were closer because you at least had killer in the name.
Yeah, but still, it's nowhere close, actually.
The initials stuck and the murderer came to be known by the newspapers and the media as the BTK killer. Radar's next known crimes occurred in 1977. That March, he tied up and strangled Shirley Vane after locking her children in the bathroom. In December, he strangled Nancy Fox in her home and then called the police to report the homicide. See, that's also messed up.
It is.
Like reporting your own crime. Shortly afterward, in January 1978, Radar sent a poem to the local newspaper about the Vane killing. Several weeks later, he sent a letter to a local television station stating that he was responsible for killing Vane, Fox, and another unknown victim. He also made allusions to several other notorious killers, including Ted Bundy and the Son of Sam. Now, you see, these type of killers, they're in it for the power. They're like, they love the thrill of the chase. The fact that they feel like they're ahead of the police, they can do what they want, and they're still getting away with it. So they are power seekers. Despite his cat-and-mouse game with authorities, Radar was reportedly an attentive husband and able to keep the lid on his secret. So weird. In 1979, Radar graduated from Wichita State University with a degree in administration of justice. Still, he continued to taunt authorities and appeared to be poised to strike again. In April 1979, he waited in an elderly woman's house but left before she returned. He sent her a letter to let her know the BTK killer had been there. "I would move states. I would move countries." In another effort to catch him, the authorities released a 1977 recording of his phone call to the police, hoping someone might recognize his voice. After several years without a known crime, Radar killed his neighbor, Maureen Hedge, on April 27, 1985. Her body was found days later on the side of the road. The following year, he killed Vicky Wegeler in her home. And his final known victim is Dolores Davis, and she was taken from her home in January 19, 1991. So his crimes were quite spread out. Over the next several years, the BTK dropped off the map as Radar focused on work and family life. Imagine being like, "I'm going to put my killing on pause because I want to work on my family." That's so contradictory. He had left ADT in the late 1980s and started working for the Wichita suburb of Park City as a compliance supervisor in 1991. In his new position, he was known to be a stickler for the rules. He measured the height of people's lawns. What? Imagine being there at your grass with a ruler. And chased stray animals while with a tranquilizer gun. According to reports, Radar took pleasure in exerting his limited authority over his neighbors and other members of the community. He was also a Boy Scout troop leader and the president of his church council.
Some very shady stuff.
Okay. With many news stories marking the 30th anniversary of the Otero family murders, that was the first one he committed, the BTK resurfaced in 2004. Radar sent local media outlets and authorities several letters filled with items related to his crimes, including pictures, a word puzzle, and an outline of the BTK story. He also left packages with clues, including a computer disc, that ultimately led authorities to Radar's church. Imagine getting arrested because you went to church.
Yo.
Investigators also noticed his Jeep on security tapes of some of the package drop-off areas, and this cemented their case by obtaining a DNA sample from Radar's daughter. Radar was arrested on February 25, 2005, and later charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder. His neighbors and fellow church members were stunned by the news, unable to believe that the man they knew was a serial killer and had haunted the area for so long. Radar pleaded guilty on all of the charges on June 27, 2005. As part of his plea, he gave the horrifying details of his crime to the court. Many observers noted that he described the gruesome events without any sign of remorse or emotion. Because he committed his crimes before the state's 1994 reinstatement of the death penalty, Radar was sent to El Dorado Correctional Facility to serve his 10 life sentence. So basically, never going to get out.
Yeah.
There was then a series of murders in Gilligo Beach area of New York's Long Island, which drew attention to Radar, while he was in prison. Following the arrest of Rex Heuermann, who was charged with the killing of three women in July 2023, Radar wrote a letter to Fox News calling the suspected killer a clone of myself. Citing details of the case, Radar described how technology and DNA evidence aided police in determining a suspect similar to his own arrest in 2005. So, this guy, that's his story. That's what's so scary. The fact that no one in his community, no one in his family life thought, hey, there's something fishy about this guy, or
yeah,
what's up with that guy? What's he doing? He's a bit creepy. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was an average churchgoer person who, you know, sometimes you just get like a funny feeling about a person. You're like, oh, I don't know if I trust him. He's a little bit off. The fact that so many people were stunned and shocked just shows how their manipulation techniques that they have. And what's interesting, though, is he was a very controlled killer. Because a lot of them, when they have those urges, cannot stop. And that's why the murders happen in those short, like, spaces of time. The fact that, like, these murders happened over 30 years, I feel so sorry for the police. Because it's also very hard to catch someone over that timeline. When a case goes cold and then suddenly you think he's gone and then 10 years later he pops up again. I mean, that's really scary. But he clearly loved the thing of, like, being in control, being able to, like, the fact he even sent victims' items to the police, he liked taunting. It was very much a cat and mouse, so he's clearly doing it for power, which makes sense, because often people said he liked the fact that he was in control of his community, and he had all these, like, authoritative positions, which I suppose makes sense. But, yeah, what interests me is that his first case was a family, an entire family, right? And then kind of moved on to, like, killing women, women by themselves. So I don't know if, like, the first one was just a taste before he found what he liked. Maybe he found that he liked killing the mother more than he liked killing the father and the children. And then he was like, okay, so now my target is woman. You get what I mean? Like, trial and error. Anyway. But anyway, yeah, that is the BTK killer. Yeah, definitely not butter tomato ketchup.
Definitely not.
What did you say?
Behind the killer.
Could have said behind the case with a K, to spell case with a K. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, that is it for the BTK killer. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I'd just like to say that this killer impressed me. Took a break to take care of his family.
Yeah, you know, you got to have your response, your priorities straight, guys. Yeah. Even killers know that. Look after your family. Oh, guys. These people. But again, it's so psychotic to just be like, okay, I need to focus on my family. I'll just, like, that's another level of messed up as well. Because then you sit for 30 years knowing you've killed people. And you're telling your kids bedtime story. It's weird. It's really weird. It's really messed up. A little bit less gruesome, though, than last week's killer of the killer club.
Yeah.
But still as weird and psychotic. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I won't be surprised in those 30 years if he was doing other sorts of crimes, maybe not killing, but he was going to have gotten his pleasure from somewhere.
I guess.
Well, that is it for this week. We hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.